A man can't even think with you around, muttered Sargon. What I was trying to say is that the Saurians don't think the way we do. They often pull dirty tricks on one another. They might raid each other's egg-laying nests or steal mates or rob their bosses. But in those situations, if they're caught, they'll run. A thieving Saurian is a cowardly Saurian. He won't risk his life for a quick score.
So you're saying they will fight harder because they both think they're in the right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. They won't give up. They won't run. The miners know the juggers don't deserve their pay. And the juggers know they haven't been paid.
I joined the talk at this point.
What are the odds both sides will come to their senses before things get ugly?
Zero, Sargon said. Saurians don't come to their senses. They're driven by their emotions. They'll do what their heart tells them is fair, and right now, fair means killing the other side.
It's a wonder there are so many of them around. The weaponeer laughed.
Have you seen one of their nesting sites? Females lay 30 eggs a year. 3 years later, you have a new crop of full-grown lizards.
What do they all eat? Carlos wanted to know.
The smaller ones, the smart guys who hired us, they're omnivores and they eat leaves and meat mostly. The big theropods eat whatever they can catch. Usually that's one form of plant eater or another.
Wait a minute, said Carlos. That seems like an inherently dangerous combination. You have big, dumb meat-eaters working for small, smart omnivores? I'm surprised they can get along at all.
The weaponeer smiled. Now you know why there's always a fight to be had on Steel World.
We might have talked longer, but we were called to the walls at that point to do some shoring up. At least, that's how it was described to us. Naturally, the recruits got the worst possible job as we erected our defenses. The puffcrete machines churned and grunted out reams of raw building material. We were given the task of trying to guide the flow and keep it in the desired shape and location. Puffcrete was an invention of an alien race called Volusians. They were from a star system that was about 200 light-years from Earth, and we rarely had direct dealings with them. But they did have the market cornered when it came to construction. According to all accounts, the Volusians were very successful and their home world was rich. Like all member worlds, they had a monopoly on their single trade good, machines that churned out puffcrete. Puffcrete was usually bluish in color and was the closest thing to a perfect building material anyone had yet discovered. The goopy stuff was amazing and irritating at the same time. Most of Earth's buildings, anything built after the middle of the 21st century, were made primarily of puffcrete. Through a seemingly magical process, squatty metallic machines produced a gout of bluish-gray stuff whenever you turned on the switch. You had to feed in certain raw materials at the other end, water, silicone, and a few other elements. But what came out was a thick, paste-like material. When formed into a given shape and allowed to cure for a day, a puffcrete structure was all but indestructible. Harder than concrete or steel, puffcrete buildings were there to stay once you molded and cast them. You know, Carlos said to me as he slathered and stirred a river of the stuff into a downward sloping trough, they say that if you measure all the materials you put into one of these puffer units and then weigh all the stuff that comes out, you'll have gained nearly 40% of mass.
I frowned at him. How's that possible?
I don't know, but if I did, I'd try to run the aliens who made it out of business.
I shook my head.
Wouldn't work. The Galactics would never allow it.
I can dream, can't I?
We kept working. We were constructing the bases for a semicircular wall that would protect the front of the mines, allowing only narrow paths to the tunnel entrance. We used force shields to hold the puffcrete material together for churning. It was really the most convenient way to do it. All you had to do when the wall was cured was turn off the shields. Unlike wooden molds, the force shields wouldn't be stuck to the new walls. One thing struck me as odd as I worked on this project all day and into the night. The force shields left marks on the walls of Puffcrete. I wasn't entirely sure how this happened, but the effect was undeniably visible. Strange swirling patterns were etched forever into those walls we'd hastily built. To me, the patterns looked like ripples on the surface of a low, muddy river. Dusk came, and a deep umber twilight fell over the land. Unseen insects and chirping creatures in the underbrush began to sing. Their natural calls were alien but not loud or annoying. In the break before dinner and my next shift, I started staring at the details in the walls I'd spent all day building. Someone came up to me from behind and surprised me. I turned and saw it was Natasha. I smiled down at her.
"The walls are strange, aren't they?" she asked. "I noticed you looking at them. We just snapped the force shields off, and all these lovely patterns were revealed."
"Yeah," I said. I couldn't help but notice.
"They never have these patterns on our buildings back home. But then we don't use force shields to hold them into place on Earth."
"Why don't we just use force shields permanently?" I asked. "That would save a lot of time. Just align the projectors, switch it on, and snap. You have an instant wall."
"It has to do with power levels," she said with certainty. "We can't move a powerful enough generator down here to make a strong shield. Those shields have just enough juice to hold back a gelatinous mess like Puffcrete. A bullet or a charging saurian would go right through."
I nodded. It made sense to me. Her knowledge on the topic made me realize something else.
"You're working toward becoming a tech, aren't you?"
I asked her. She smiled.
"Does the nerd show through that clearly?" "Yes, they recruited me for tech work."
I frowned.
"But if you have that kind of background, why didn't a reputable Legion pick up my contract? Was that what you were about to ask?"
"Well, I..."
"You're right. There is something wrong with me, with my record. I was caught hacking in high school. I took a few parts from the genetics lab. It was only harmless fun, you have to understand. But I built an illegal pet. They found it in my dorm and expelled me."
I nodded in total understanding. She'd been kicked out of college, too, and under circumstances that would make a snooty Legion turn her down.
"I get it," I said, turning back to the walls again. "What's your story? I told you mine."
"I killed a guy," I said, keeping my face deadpan.
"What?"
"Yeah, he was trying to steal my wallet, so I beat him to death with a hammer." She stared at me in shock, but I couldn't keep a straight face. When I started laughing, she punched my shoulder.
"You shouldn't joke about a thing like that," she complained.
I turned back to the walls again, running my hands over the smooth, swirling patterns on the surface.
"Sorry," I said.
"I didn't do anything cool, like build my own freak pet in school. I got kicked out because my family ran out of money. Also, they didn't seem to like my psych evaluation."
"Why's that?"
"Too assertive, too independent. Most of the Legions want a bowl full of jelly to mold. They could tell I had my own ideas." She'd stepped away from me when I told her I was a killer, but now she came closer. She reached out and ran her fingers over the patterns on the wall.
"They're so perfect, like they were created with careful artistry," she said. "Strange to think they're only the random twists of a force field."
I could feel her presence close beside me. It was nice, almost as if I could feel her body heat.
"It's an odd place for beauty," she continued. "The walls themselves are ugly. I wonder what the Saurians will think of us when they see them."
"They'll think we're crazy for making fancy walls of Puffcrete.
and then they'll try to eat us.